We're turning in the Word of God for our scripture reading to the New Testament scriptures and the Gospel according to John, chapter 20 of John's Gospel, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse. The 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, and commencing to read at verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Ending our reading there at the 18th verse of the chapter, and knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us again seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we draw nigh again to Thee in prayer, in our Savior's name. We thank Thee for Thy presence here in this meeting already. We thank Thee for the words that we have been singing in praise to Thee. We thank Thee for the portion of Thy precious word that we have been reading. And, O God, as we come now to preach forth Thy truth, we cry to Thee for help. I seek that gracious infilling of Thy Spirit, so that the word preached this day will be in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Grant that in all of the preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted and exalted far above all. Enable us with the eye of faith to get those glimpses of him in thy word this day. We ask in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. The 20th chapter of John's Gospel, part of which we were reading together, records for us a very important and unique meeting. Important because it brings into very sharp focus a meeting between the risen Christ and one of his loyal and devoted followers, Mary Magdalene. Unique because it was Mary Magdalene who had the privilege of seeing him first after he had risen from the grave. Hers was the privilege first to hear his voice after having risen from the dead. Hers was the great privilege to hold conversation with the one who had just triumphed over death. The meeting itself, the events surrounding it and leading up to it, are recorded here in John chapter 20. We find that it's on the first day of the week that Mary Magdalene comes early to the sepulchre. And as she comes, she observes that the stone that had been placed over the mouth of the sepulchre has been rolled away. From that, in her mind, she draws a wrong conclusion. She hastens to get Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she says this to them: "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." We find that those two disciples make their way to the sepulchre. They go in and they observe. And then in verse 10 it's recorded that they went unto their own home. But not Mary Magdalene. We discover in the verse 11 of the chapter that she remains at the sepulchre. She's standing there, and as she stands, she weeps. And as she weeps, she stoops down, and she looks in, and she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They ask her a question: "Woman, why weepest thou?" She immediately comes with the response: "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Then when she had spoken those words in answer to the question, she turned round, and there was the risen Lord standing, her Lord, her Savior, her Redeemer. He speaks to her, and he asks her two questions. The first is similar to the one posed by the angels: "Woman, why weepest thou?" Then he asks a further: "Whom seekest thou?" On hearing those words in the form of the questions, she doesn't know the Lord. She doesn't recognize him. And yet he is her risen Lord. She supposed him to be the gardener. And with that supposition of mind, she says, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." But the Savior speaks again, calls her by her name, and immediately, instantly, she knows her Lord. She recognizes him, and she responds by calling him Master. then he has further words to speak to her. For he has further work for her to do. As we read down these verses, it's clear that the heart of Mary Magdalene was a very loving heart. It's evident too that this heart of Mary Magdalene was a seeking heart. But added to that, it's most evident that prior to this meeting with her Lord, her heart was a breaking heart. And so it is to this loving, seeking, breaking heart that the risen Lord comes and speaks forth wonderful and gracious words. What a meeting. And as we come for a little while to consider this meeting, I want you to just ponder, first of all, her conduct prior to her meeting with the risen Christ. How can we describe it? How can we sum it up? I feel we can do so in several ways. Her conduct was characterized by very deep affection. She was a woman who clearly loved the Lord and loved him deeply and loved him dearly. But it must be said, there was a time in her life when she didn't love the Lord. Because there was a time when she didn't know the Lord. And it was only after the grace of God triumphed in her heart and in her life that she knew what it was to begin to love her Savior and her Redeemer. There was that time when nothing but spiritual darkness reigned and ruled in her heart. Because the Scriptures record that it was out of Mary Magdalene that the Lord cast forth 7 devils, indicating to us that as far as this woman was concerned, the devil had her in his control. He ruled her life completely. But then there was that gracious intervention and deliverance by the Lord that was wrought in her heart, and she came to know the Lord and trust the Lord, and the devil was dethroned in her life. And from that moment on, we find that Mary Magdalene is a woman who faithfully followed her Lord. We discover, for example, in another of the Gospel records, in Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 27, verse 55, "And many women were there," this is referring to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, "and many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus." Followed Jesus from Galilee. And then in verse 56 it says, "among which was Mary Magdalene." She has been following her Lord all the way from Galilee even to Jerusalem. Yea, even to Calvary. Because in John's Gospel, the previous chapter, the chapter 19 and the verse 25, these words are recorded. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Then we discover from Mark's Gospel, in the chapter 15, and the verses 46 and 47, when Joseph of Arimathea had received the body of the Lord Jesus, we read in verse 46, "he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." So here is a woman who is following, and as she has been following her Lord, what has she been doing? Well, it's clear from one of those references that we have just given you in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. It's clear that as she followed, she was ministering unto him. That's what the verse 55 of Matthew 27 says. Followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. The word ministering there really means serving. And so we learn this, that if we are going to be those who will be serving the Lord, we can only be serving him as we ought and as we should if we are following him. And if we are following the Lord as his people, then we will be serving the Lord. And here is Mary Magdalene with this heart of love for her Lord, and she's following and she's serving, she's ministering unto him. What deep affection characterizes this conduct of service for her Lord. Now, as she comes on the first day of the week, early when it's yet dark, to the sepulchre where she had beheld his body being laid. We find that in another of the Gospels, as she sets out, it's dark. That might have been reason enough not to go. But such is the constraint of love in her heart that she sets forth. In her mind, she's thinking about the stone that has been there at the mouth of the sepulchre, wondering how they could get the stone removed, but then she discovers that the stone has been taken away. And she concludes wrongly that some have come and taken away the body of the Lord Jesus. And that must have come just to her heart almost like another death blow to her. And here she is, with a heart that is deeply sorrowing, coming here to the sepulchre. And the sepulchre is empty. The tomb is empty. Oh, with what devoted activity she has been at work here. As you read down these verses, the verse 1 says she's coming and she's seeing. And then in the verse 2, she's running. And there in the verse 11, she's weeping. And yet her heart is seeking for her Lord, seeking for her Savior. You say she has come to seek in the wrong place. Yes, I know. But though there is unbelief in her heart, let us not allow that to take away from the deep love that is found in the heart of Mary Magdalene. Here she's standing at the sepulchre and she's weeping. She's doing more than just shed a few tears. The word there indicates that on her countenance there would be every outward expression of grief that is possible. Here is someone who is seeking her Lord. She can't find him. She can't find him. But there's a deep desire in her heart to find him. You recall those words that we read in the Song of Solomon, the chapter 3 and the verse 1, the spouse there in the song says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." And the heart of Mary Magdalene loved her Lord, and she's seeking him, but she has not found him. Perhaps you're saying, well, is it possible for the believer, for the child of God, to experience this? Did not Job experience something of this when he said in Job 23, the verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." She's desirous to find the Lord, and his absence is making the desire to find him all the stronger. And maybe there are hearts here in this meeting today, hearts that love the Lord, but you're feeling in your heart that you're seeking him and you're not finding him. Perhaps there are hearts here and they're breaking. Circumstances have arisen. Situations have developed. And you're tied up in those circumstances some way, and your heart is breaking. Your heart is sore. You're a believer. You're a child of God. And somehow, you're feeling in your heart, I can't get through to the Lord. It just seems as if everything has overcome me, has overwhelmed me. But yet there is that desire there, as there was in the heart of Mary Magdalene, to find him. As far as you're concerned, your feeling is that you've lost him. And Mary Magdalene was feeling like that. She's lost her Lord. She can't find him. But she is going to discover that her Lord had not lost her. Her Lord had not lost her, and she's going to find that out. And as she comes here to the sepulchre, engaging in all of the activity that she's been engaging in, all the while, the risen Lord is observing her. The risen Lord is watching her. The risen Christ sees her. And all the while, you have been feeling in your heart, believer, as you do, as if you've lost the Lord. He's been watching you. He's been observing you. He sees you and he knows you. And as he came here, having risen from the tomb, to meet with Mary Magdalene, he has come here this day to meet with you. And that brings us in the second place then to see the comfort that the Lord brought to the heart of Mary Magdalene. While she was looking, while she was seeking, albeit in the wrong place, the Lord is drawing nigh to speak to her. The Lord is coming to comfort her. The Lord is coming with a word to meet her heart's need. And yet it might seem strange at the outset, the word that he brings. We might have thought, well, here is a heart that's loving and seeking, but a heart that's breaking. Why pose some questions to a heart like that? But the Lord is all wise. He knows what to say. He knows when to say it. And after she has looked into the sepulchre and turns round, He speaks to her. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? What a word this is. A word that we could describe as a word of greatness. A word of greatness. You say, well, yes, I'm sure it was a great word because of the occasion itself. But never forget this. It is always a great occasion when the Lord speaks His word to your heart. This meeting will be a great meeting if for you in your heart you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. And this word, which was a great word, comes to Mary Magdalene. And yet, as the word is spoken, she doesn't recognize the one who's speaking. She supposes him to be the gardener. Perhaps we could say, well, if we had been there, we would have known him. We would have recognized him. Well, then let us consider this. How often do we read his word and miss him? How often do we come to the scriptures and read the verse or the portion or the chapter, and we fail to see Christ? And it's all his word, isn't it? From Genesis through to Revelation, it's all the word of the Lord. But have we not come to this precious word and read it, and fail to get a view and a sight of Christ? I fear that too often that has been the case. But this is such a great word, nevertheless. And this word that he spoke here to comfort the heart of Mary Magdalene was not only a word of greatness, but I say to you, it was a word of guidance. It was a word of guidance. And the word of the Lord is always a guiding word to Christ. The word of the Lord will always guide us to the Savior. And so he asks the question, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Can you see that this is a word to guide her? To take her gaze away from the sepulchre which is empty? And to have her fix her gaze upon Christ. She has been looking. She has been seeking. And as yet she hasn't found him. But he has come to guide her so that she will get that sight of him again. Get that view of him again. A view of the risen Christ. Ah, that's what her heart needs. That's what her heart needs. We're told in the opening verses of that 20th chapter of John's Gospel that on the first day she was coming early, seeking. It's always good to seek the Lord early every day of the week. I feel it's especially good to seek him early on his own day, the Lord's day, the first day of the week. as you were seeking him this morning, did you get that sight of him? Did you get that view of him in his word, in the scriptures of truth? Because this is the word that will guide you to him. And this is the word that will reveal him unto you. But as he speaks, she doesn't recognize him. In fact, it's recorded there very specifically that she knew not that it was Jesus. She knew not that it was Jesus. But yet it was his word that she was hearing. It was his word that was being spoken to her heart. Oh, this word that comes is to guide her to her Savior. What a word of grace. What a word of grace this is. Because we find that though she did not recognize him, he speaks again. He speaks again. And this time he simply calls her by her name. It's just the one word. Mary. Mary. And when she hears that, immediately she knows whose word this is. And she recognizes him. She sees him as her Lord, the one whom she's been seeking, the one that she's been looking for. How is it that she knows him now? How is it that she recognizes him now? Oh, this word has been made so personal to her heart, hasn't it? So personal to her heart. She knows it has to be. Yes, it is my Lord. And when the word of the Lord comes like that, so personally, so powerfully to your heart, you know that it is the Lord. And his word lives in your heart, lives in your soul. And your heart, though broken, is greatly comforted. Greatly comforted, as was the heart of Mary Magdalene. This word of grace that came showed her that he had not forgotten her. Neither had he forsaken her. He had not forfeited his claims upon her. What a comfort. What a comfort to her breaking heart. And what a response comes forth from the heart that was breaking, sorrowful, downcast, heavy. Master. Master. We said earlier that she had been following her Lord, a true disciple of his. It's clear that she's giving every evidence still of wanting to follow on. Wanting to follow on and depend upon him still. Her heart has been greatly strengthened. Her heart has been wonderfully comforted. And there's something else about this meeting. We find that after she said that word, Master, the Lord has more to say unto her. The Lord always has more to say to us, hasn't he? No matter how often we have heard his word, There's always something more. There's always something more. And there's something more here for Mary Magdalene to hear. And we find that the Lord is commissioning her to go forth in yet more service for Him. We read of that in the verses 17 and 18 of the chapter. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." You'll notice what he says here, "Touch me not. Touch me not." Why did he say that? Well, he knew that Mary Magdalene, having come to the sepulchre, was looking for his body. And it's as if he's now saying, "Mary, there's something you must learn. There's a lesson here I'm going to teach you." And the Lord's a great teacher, isn't He? "Touch me not. Don't cling to me bodily. Mary, you're no longer to think of being restricted to my bodily presence for fellowship with me. Because remember this, Mary, I have not risen to stay bodily upon this earth. I will be ascending bodily to my Father in heaven, where all believers still on earth can touch me by faith through prayer. I will be ascending. I have not yet ascended, but I will be ascending to take possession of heaven in my body, which has not been there before. And to take possession of heaven for my people. And my ascending to heaven will be but the pledge that the bodies of all believers will be in heaven fashioned like unto our Lord's glorious body. And having made that clear to Mary Magdalene, he says there in the verse 17, "Go to my brethren." These were his disciples. And here he refers to them as his brethren. "I want you to go to them, and I want you to say something to them. I have a word for them that they need to hear. And I want you, Mary, to take that word to them. And here it is. Say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." Remind them of their great privilege of union with me. Because God is only our Father in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Mary, having met the Lord, the risen Lord, hears this word, this further word. And what do we find her doing? In the verse 18, she came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She was tremendously blessed, wasn't she? She was greatly honored to bring forth this word to his disciples. She's continuing to serve her Lord. And maybe there's some here today, and you have felt almost like giving up. You have been considering, is it worthwhile me going on and pressing on? And the Lord has come with his word to your heart to lift you up, you who are downcast, to encourage you, you who are discouraged, to tell you that there is yet more work that he has for you to do. He needs you as his ambassador. He needs you to go forth at his command with a heart strengthened, with a soul encouraged. You can only go one way, and that way is forward and on and through with the Lord himself. You see, Mary Magdalene's meeting with the risen Lord changed everything for her. It changed her whole perspective. The future that seemed so dark now became wonderfully bright. She had that view of Christ. And if we will get that sight of him today in his word, the risen, exalted Lord, then we too will press on with him. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thine own precious word. And Lord, as thou didst come and speak to Mary Magdalene, so thou dost still come to speak to thy people. Grant that this day each one of us will have heard thy voice to our hearts. We pray, O God, that thou wilt write thy truth upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. Grant that as we have been contemplating thy word and meditating upon it, that we will indeed see Christ, and having seen him, we will go forth in yet more service for him. Thou art a gracious Lord. Thou art a good Lord. We thank thee for thy word that guides us, thy word that points out the way ahead, the way forward for us to go as thy people. We cry to thee for grace to follow thee. O Lord, may we go forth to tell of the one whom we have seen, the one on whom we have believed, the one whose word we have read, whose voice we have heard. Help us to be those faithful ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be pleased to separate us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be the abiding portion of each of God's children, now and forevermore. Amen.